It's 20 degrees on a frigid Saturday afternoon. Jennifer Nalbone is standing outside a small Western New York airport waiting for her father, Lou. He's returning from a quick trip to a neighboring town. After Lou lands the American champion scout, he taxis to the terminal and then climbs out. On the ground, he describes what Lake Erie means to his family of aviators.
It's the highway in the sky, and still is to this day.
And to this day, it's how you find your way home. When you get lost, you follow the shoreline of Lake Erie. Back before digital signals were used for navigation, visual flight rules took pilots from city to city along the flyway.
And their number one checkpoint, their number one highway, was the shoreline because of the definition. You had situational awareness, you had the difference between the way the land looked and the water. And it was also the lowest elevation land available from a route, say, from Chicago all the way to Buffalo.
The family runs a flight school out of the Chautauqua County Dunker Airport, so Jennifer pretty much grew up here. She learned to fly before she could drive, and she has her grandpa, the late John Nalbone, to thank for that. John was a World War II flight instructor. He opened a flight school after the war.
He always said, and he told most of his students this, that if you ever got in trouble, follow the farm lines, that farms are plowed and planted north, south, east, west, and head west, head to the lake, and find your way home.
Their story is one of over 1,000 collected for the Watermark Project. It's a project run by the Lake Ontario Waterkeeper. The environmental group publishes these stories online. Their president, Mark Mattson, says the project began as a way to fuel passions to protect the environment.
There's all the rational reasons for protecting water, but it's usually those personal reasons that actually have the most power and actually get people to work harder for their watersheds.
Teachers, businesses, and others collect stories for the project. Stories like the Nalbones were collected by the International Joint Commission, which helps regulate the use of the Great Lakes. Here's another story. This one's from Anne Runyon. She remembers her family's summer cottage on Lake Huron in Canada.
I was a baby boom child, and we all were free to simply grow up on the beaches without much adult supervision. I remember sitting in dunes and watching the water, or swinging in swings, old-fashioned swings.
Now, these stories also cover waterways from around the world. This one's from Sri Lanka. It's about the Indian Ocean, and it's from a young man who, as a child, was a victim of a tsunami. His name is Kaveen.
I saw things at a young age that sort of forced me to think how much impact water has on, especially islands and on people who live near the coast, like how much impact they have, because their livelihood is based on sea, based on fishery. Now it's pretty much attacking them and destroying their lives.
Mattson says the stories help his group track the way people use the water, and this helps them advocate for swimmable, drinkable, and fishable waters. For Great Lakes Today, this is Angelica Morrison.